With WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting. Someday, the Secaucan Chippewa community hopes to have a full list of all tribal children forcibly taken to Indian boarding schools in the 19th and 20th centuries. Compiling that list and providing answers for current tribal members could take years, but it is now at least started, as Ben Meyer reports for WXPR.
As part of an attempt to force the assimilation of Native children into white culture, the United States government operated or supported 408 boarding schools, largely in the last decades of the 1800s and first decades of the 1900s. At least 10 of those schools were in Wisconsin. But records of the schools, and what became of the children who attended them, are shoddy and haphazard. Michael LaRange is the Tribal Historic Preservation Officer for the Secaucan Chippewa community.
So they were not considered Native enough to fit back into the community, and they weren't essentially white enough to fit into society outside of some, you know, subservient roles.
The tribe has started the long process of trying to identify all tribal children who attended boarding schools. It has now digitized the records of Wisconsin's Catholic boarding schools, which were housed at Marquette University. LaRange and volunteers still must painstakingly find, review, and sort the records of other church-operated and federally operated schools, searching for Secaucan children. LaRange anticipates they will find some somber results.
You know, the writing's on the wall. I think it's pretty clear based on the, you know, what's happening or what happened already in Canada, that we are going to identify unmarked grave sites at some of these boarding schools, and then have to deal with, you know, how do you move any of those individuals? Can you identify them by person?
In the last 3 years, the likely sites of unmarked graves were located at dozens of Indian boarding school sites in Canada. In the United States, the records are so scattered that LaRange cannot even guess how many Secaucan children were taken to boarding schools or how long his work will take. That work may bring some closure to families and heartbreak to others.
It's a path forward, but it's a path forward to some sad news.
Ben Meyer, WXPR News.
This past weekend, Governor Tony Evers raised a rainbow flag to mark LGBTQ Pride Month. In the Northwoods, LGBTQ people have said that a lot more needs to be done in terms of acceptance and progress. On Saturday, June 15th, the Rhinelander Pride Festival will take place at Hodag Park. It'll be a day-long event, complete with food, music, family, and kids' activities, and a family-friendly drag show. Dee Wu is the co-advisor of the Rainbow Hodags at Nicolay College and committee president of the Northwoods Pride Festival.
This event is really focusing on to promote understanding and acceptance for LGBTQ community in the Northwoods. So we really making a lot of efforts to make it inclusive to everybody.
Many members of the LGBTQ community in the Northwoods have reported feeling lonely and isolated in this area. The Rhinelander Pride Festival is designed to provide meaningful social opportunities for people, especially those looking for community. Wu also hopes the event reaches people who aren't members of the LGBTQ community, but who may want to know more.
So I hope this event can serve as a bridge to reach more people so that they can know more about this community and to understand us. We are just the same people as they are.
If you want to donate or become a volunteer, you can check out their website at WXPR.org. Governor Tony Evers brought his cabinet to the Northwoods to see how local businesses have benefited from a statewide grant. Charlotte Andrici owns Knott House Gift Gallery in Tomahawk. Several years ago, she received a Main Street Bounce Back Grant. The grant is meant to reward business owners for buying vacant spaces to expand their business. Andrici says she's thankful for the assistance.
I got a bounce back grant back in 2021 when I bought this building. I was moving from another building that had sold that I was in. I didn't think I would qualify for it, but because I bought the building and was moving my business to a new location, I did qualify. And that was wonderful and great news.
The governor then headed to Big Bear Mini Golf and Ice Cream to hear how they've been helped by the grant program. Sherry Hewlett co-owns the course with her husband. She used her grant money to get the business off the ground in 2022.
First thing we did was take all the freezers out and redo and repair and make sturdy the floor that holds up all of our product. Really, really helped us get up and operating in a safe manner for our staff and then also for our visitors and guests.
Governor Evers said it was important to see how the grants have helped with his own eyes.
It's one of the things over my 5+ years as governor that I've really, really enjoyed, because we were able to essentially create businesses and vacant storefronts in 10,000 places in the state of Wisconsin.
Both businesses said they're looking forward to the summer tourism season. This story is courtesy of WAOW Television. An environmental education center based in northern Vilas County has a new leader. The North Lakeland Discovery Center in Manitowish Waters has announced the appointment of Don Anderson as its new executive director. Anderson is currently the principal at Eagle River Elementary School. He'll join the Discovery Center as soon as he finishes the school year, but plans to attend events as frequently as possible over the next couple of months. Anderson said he's beyond excited about the opportunity. He said North Lakeland Discovery Center's commitment to environmental education and conservation efforts has truly impressed him. A ghost from recent election cycles, controversies over certification of results, is beginning to reemerge as the nation heads closer to the fall presidential contest. Conspiracy theorists on local canvassing boards already have delayed certifications in two major presidential swing states during this year's primaries. Some election officials and Democrats are concerned that Republicans will deploy the strategy broadly in the fall if the presidential race is very narrowly decided. In Michigan's Upper Peninsula, two Republican members of a county canvassing board last month refused to sign off on results of an election that led to the recall of three Republican members of the county commission. They did so only after state officials warned them it was their legal duty to record the final vote tally. For WXPR News, I'm John Burton reporting.